to the book of Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read there in a moment. I spoke here in the past couple of weeks here about the three main elements I see, the main spirits of Christmas. And that again is that, first of all, there's hope. Hope for Christmas because Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And because he died upon the cross, gave his life for us, the Bible says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. They shall be saved. There's still a future hope for each one of us that now that we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's going to actually do what he said, receive us to himself, give us a glorified body, but also give us a place in heaven with him forevermore, and there also see him face to face as he really is. We don't see God right now because in our own flesh, we actually be consumed and killed by the glory of God. It is so great and so awesome. It's like trying to stand, it's a little analogy of this, in the presence of a space shuttle taking off at Cape Canaveral, being 10 feet from that, you don't survive that. You cannot survive the awesomeness, the power, the light, the glory, the energy that comes from God. And so he says, I'm going to give you a body like mine in many ways, a glorified body, that you might see me as I am. But in this life also, God is saying, my spirit lives in you. Again, I want to remind you, he's called Emmanuel, God who's with us. And the spirit that lives inside of us is a dynamo of power, wanting to get released through us. Praise God, the testimonies we heard here from Kendra. God, when his presence shows up, just starts breaking loose to take and heal things that are diseased, taking away sickness, bringing forth sometimes provision, breaking shackles and bondage off people that are addicted and so forth. God does that by his spirit. But also it's a time of peace. The Prince of Peace is here among us. There's so many things around us that creates turmoil, that creates disease, and creates in us sometimes even fear about the future. God wants us to realize and understand that his peace that passes all human understanding is our portion by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that last week you guys that were here, who were prayed for, send some good peace this week. The shalom of God is on you. And God's peace, he says, I leave with you, not as the world gives, but I give to you abundant peace. Amen. Today is about that third world, the word called love. God's love at Christmas. And we're going to read here in Matthew chapter 1 in a moment some verses about the love that Jesus Christ gave for us. But I want to say also, of course, this is the Sunday before Christmas happens on Friday. I hope you guys can come back here on Christmas Eve service on Thursday night. It's going to be a great, meaningful time to sing praise to him, to have a festive time together. Those who can stay afterward there for that dinner, it'd be a big blessing as well for your lives to do that. But we're asking ourselves sometimes as we get older again, what am I giving out? What am I going to receive here this coming Christmas morning in only about 5 days? Some of you guys, all you want is your two front teeth. Amen? You have all you want. You have all you need. And if you're old enough, young enough, all you want is your two front teeth. I remember myself way back years and years ago as a five-year-old child living for 4 years, 5 years on a farm in northern Missouri, Newtown, Missouri, population 365. One person for every day of the week. In that town, we always had a town gathering in the gymnasium of the high school right there before Christmas. The whole town would come together. They would take and sing Christmas carols. And I remember when the teachers approached me and a young girl, 5 years old also, who'd lost their two front teeth. And they said, would you mind getting this microphone here and singing the song, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, in front of the whole town? And so we complied to that. They played their song behind us, the band did. And we sang those songs. They could hear us whistling through our big gap in our face for the two front teeth had once been there. I remember back in that day of the era, though, the memories of myself was all those trappings of Christmas. It was usually a white Christmas in northern Missouri. Normally there was snow on the ground. It was up there by Iowa. There was normally free popcorn balls given out. There was a free sack of candy and mixed nuts and hard candy and maple nut goodies and peanut clusters and chocolate stars and oranges and apples. Every town member got a free sack given to them as they left that day. Everybody was shaking hands. They were all friendly. Such a camaraderie in a small town setting like that. But I remember also kind of a special spirit in the air, though I was not even a born-again believer in Jesus Christ yet at age 5. I remember that love being there in the atmosphere of a small town like that, sharing and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The main element of Christmas must always be God's love. God loves you. God loves us. God loves our family. God brought us together for love. And the good news also is God's love will only increase as time goes by through eternity. And his love will ever be around us and flowing through us forever and ever and evermore. You may see some unlovely things. You may experience some unloving things, even next year. The good news is God's love will never leave you, never forsake you. He loves closer, the Bible says, than a brother can love us. He's the one who's with us. Amen. I want to read also, I want to read here some of the toys, some of the most popular toys in the past 60 years sold in America to kind of jog our memories about what was popular in Christmases gone by. These are the top 10. Back in 1952, it was Mr. Potato Head. That's before my time. I never got one of those. Amen. Those were a fun toy to play with. I remember seeing those. 1975, number 9 was the Pet Rock. I remember those. Also 1975, number 8 was the Pong game, the game called Pong, first video game that came out. 1979, I think it was number 7, was a video game called Atari. Could not find one right before Christmas in 1979. Number 6, 1983 was what's called the Cabbage Patch Doll. Folks were killing themselves, killing each other at Targets and Walmarts across America on Black Friday to grab that Cabbage Patch Doll and put it under the tree. They're totally worthless now. Amen. Number 5, 1991 was a thing called the Game Boy. Same exact scenario in Walmarts and Targets across our nation in 91. 96 was number 4 called Tickle Me Elmo. How many folks still have got scars from Tickle Me Elmo? And then number 3, 1998 was a thing called the Furby. Then 2006, the thing called the PlayStation. And then number 1, 2009, only a few years ago, was Juju Pets. I don't even know what Juju Pets even are, but they were number 1 only about 6 years ago. Who knows what this year's most popular gift is going to be? But I believe what God wants us to, as believers in Him, to keep in the forefront of our minds is He is the most popular gift for us every day of our lives. As Cheryl was saying here again, the gift of Jesus Christ is unsurpassed. It's what we can have given to us, and we can give to others to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. Let's read now Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. And it says here, "And now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example or spectacle, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.'" Let's read now chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go on here. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they said, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them and where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but to you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then it says, Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and I may also worship him myself.'" In this portion of the Christmas story, we're going to look at three different characters in this story to see the kind of love displayed by them. Hopefully encourages each one of us to have the right kind of love displayed this Christmas time, but also all of our lives, using these characters also as an example of things not to do, but also things to do, because there's some shady characters here And there's some good characters here. And God's made all of us to be like those good characters that are going to be like the wise men with God's help and grace. So the first character here, number one, is a man whose name was King Herod. King Herod was a deceiver. We see that King Herod's love was only for himself. Herod was actually a pawn of Rome. This guy was brilliant. This guy was wealthy. This man was known to have several big, massive building projects all across Jerusalem and throughout Israel. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that one of his last projects there was to take and redo the temple on the mount and rebuild the temple on that mount. And even today in Israel, you will find that temple is still there in its ruins and the mound still exists. There's a thing right now in Israel called the Wailing Wall, or called the West Wall. The Wailing Wall is also remnants of one big project Herod did over 2,000 years ago. Also, a whole mountaintop was totally leveled and made level that Herod might build a palace on that mountain that no enemies could actually escape his sight. This man was very, very paranoid, and Masada still exists even to this day. This guy built big projects, big buildings, big things, and some of the ruins there exist today from those things, but Herod himself's own name has been muddied by his own greed, his own self-indulgence, his own self-perseverance, and his own deceiving spirit that he walked in 2,000 years ago. Herod was so paranoid about his kingdom, he actually murdered his own two sons, fearing they were going to try to plot and scheme a way to kill him, assassinate him, and take his kingship over themselves before he actually was going to live or die a natural death. He was schizophrenic. He was diseased in his own kidneys. He was now being threatened that a king was prophesied that shall be the Messiah. He shall be Emmanuel. He shall be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's only brought fear and terror into the self-preserving heart and mind and life of King Herod himself. Jesus Christ was a threat to him. So Herod's motivation here to seek Christ through the wise men was actually the opposite of love. It was all about hate. It was all about anger. It was all about self-preservation. It was all about being first in his life. No matter who dies around him, does not matter. All that matters is I live, I'm honored, and I live out all of my days. That's why the Bible tells us that within 2 years of Christ's birth, Herod says, I want all the young boys throughout Israel, I want them wiped out, I want them killed to try and make sure this Messiah, this King of Israel, will never reach full age, that he might take my place as in the years ahead. The interesting thing also is this. Within 2 years of the decree that Herod made to kill all the boys that were 2 years old and younger, he himself died of kidney disease and gangrene. The very thing he sowed out of his own mouth was actually death unto him. And he died, but Christ lived. You cannot kill the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? He makes a way of escape even for himself by the Daddy who loves him, Abba, Father, Daddy God, who watches over Jesus, watches over us as well upon the earth. The wise men were called the kings of the East. They actually were kings themselves of their own cities, their own regions, their own localities. They actually spent, historians tell us, 3 years finding Jesus Christ. Historians tell us that they saw his star appear a year before he was born and began going towards that star and found him when he was actually 2 years old. Now we see in nativity scenes across the world, the wise men bearing gifts in the manger, giving Jesus Christ gifts at his birth, where, as in all actuality, he's actually already 2 years old. The Bible says in Matthew here, the wise men came to his house. He was a two-year-old boy. That's why Herod says, all young boys that are 2 years old and younger, I want them killed and I want them to be wiped out. Herod was not interested in worshiping Jesus Christ. He wanted to destroy him for his own gain. And the sad thing is, there are still people in the earth today that are trying to kill the very name of Jesus Christ. We're seeing the name of Jesus being banned in public schools, being banned in governments and nations, being banned in billboards, being banned in so many ways. But the good news is, the Bible is true where it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And though man may try and do all they can do to ban the name of Jesus Christ, His name will still be the name that all people shall bow to. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess in due time that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even demons realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible says they tremble at that knowledge. How much more you and I, though, know that Jesus Christ is our Lord, is our Savior, and His name is worthy of praise and glory and honor forevermore. Amen? The second group here of people is called the scribes and the high priests. Talked about in Matthew also, chapter 1, chapter 2. These guys had love for their occupation and love for religion. Now, as I begin doing this second point here again, I want to let you realize I just really received, I believe, some inspiration, and I received some mandates from God to really focus on this second point as well for a while, because we find ourselves in this Christmas season as born-again believers in Jesus Christ being somehow, some way tempted to become a little bit, just a little bitty bit, like the scribes or high priests were, because the fact is the scribes had a great interest in getting everything right down to the very last detail, because their job was take what was spoken and make sure it was written down word for word, dot for dot, comma for comma, make sure everything was totally perfect in the manuscripts that we read in the Old Torah and also even read today in New Testament. Okay, so the scribes of the Old Torah, Old Testament, they were religious type guys that were very, very legalistic, very, very careful in their observations and writing things down. But the sad thing is the scribes heard every word about the prophecies of Jesus Christ, Messiah, coming, and they were totally blinded to His birth upon the earth. That should scare some of us to death or to life, to realize you can read the Word, know the Word, and see what God's Word says about Jesus, but yet never recognize Him around us upon this earth. It's a very, very scary thing. The frustrating thing about the scribes and the high priests was they were right there searching scriptures year after year after year. When the Messiah is finally born, fulfilling all prophecies, they did not realize or know who He was and rejected Him and crucified Him as Lord and Savior of the earth. I'm praying to God in these last days, the Bible says one sign of the last days will be mass deception upon the people. We've got to realize our children need to know that God's a God of relationships, a God that speaks, a God that lives in us, a God that cares about us, a God that knows every detail of our lives. And I want to see our children and our adults both having a viable walk with God that deepens in 2016. So no matter what trappings are taken away from us on the outside, because God lives in us on the inside, our inside is bigger than our outside. Amen? And no matter what laws get passed in these last days, try and annihilate the name of Jesus Christ. We know who Jesus is. And He becomes bigger in us, not smaller, because of trappings around us getting smaller and diminishing. Okay? So, I want to say again, these guys have no revelation. They had words, they had ink, they had paper, but they had no revelation of who Jesus Christ really was upon the earth. There's many trappings that I really feel the Holy Spirit made this very plain to me again a few days ago. We must be aware of ourselves in Christianity. What I want to say here as a pastor is I appreciate all of our great Christian singers. I appreciate all of our great Christian radio stations. I appreciate all the great local churches raised up across this country, some numbering 10, 20, and 30,000 people on Sunday mornings. I appreciate all the great preachers on television and Christian TV stations. I appreciate all the Christian bookstores that sell tremendous Christian books. They sell crosses. They sell symbols. They sell trinkets. They sell all things about God, about Jesus Christ, and about Christianity. I praise God for all of that. And I want to say what the danger is, though there is so much that's been given to us in great voices and great songs and great entertainment and great buildings and great programs and great teachings, that can somehow tend to replace who it's all about, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. And I pray to God that we realize that all those things around us are because God loves us and because God's given people giftings to speak, to preach, to pray, to sing, to invent and make designs, do artwork and so forth. And all those things, those giftings, are there to point us toward the Messiah, whose name is Jesus Christ, and to God the Father and to the Holy Spirit, not to distract us and entertain us until Jesus Christ comes back. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying let's be careful and not take all the things that God's blessed us with in buildings and teachers and preachers and programs and so forth and say, I don't really know now who God really is. I'm so busy with all the trappings of all the Christian things around me. It totally entertains me so much, keeps me so occupied in my mind that it's actually enough to satisfy me. I'm only satisfied by a viable relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so all those trappings, praise God for them, but they are not Jesus. He is Jesus. And I need Him. I need the Holy Spirit. I need God the Father. I need His presence in my life every day. Okay? So I'm saying again, we are blessed in America, blessed in many nations around the world, with so many things God's given us to talk about Him and point us to Him. Don't forget about Him like the scribes did, like the Pharisees did, like the high priests did in His day. I was asking Cheryl last night, I said, you know, it's puzzled me. Why do you think Jesus would take and do a simple miracle like tell, I think it was Matthias, I saw you sitting under a fig tree, and this guy, a totally raw heathen, takes and says, I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of living God. I'm going to drop everything, leave my occupation, and come follow you. And the same thing's true of the fishermen, Peter, James, and John. Same thing's true of Matthew and also the physician Luke. These guys all dropped everything and followed Jesus, seeing one simple miracle, a full net, a boatload of fish, a simple word of knowledge. They saw a healing take place. Yet the scribes and the Pharisees followed Jesus everywhere He went. They saw demons cast out. They saw blind eyes open. They saw the dead raised, and they totally rejected Him as Lord and Savior and Messiah over all of Israel and over all of the earth. That is a scary thing. I pray to God, you got to realize the things, the giftings that God does around us won't keep you in a viable walk with Him. You must know Him as a God of relationships for yourself. I want to drive this thing home because it's so important. In 2016, you may see more laws passed. You may see more things take place to diminish the name of Jesus in the outward world around us. Do not let that diminish Jesus inside your heart and the hearts of your children and your grandchildren in Jesus' name. Amen? Because I don't know what takes place in 2016, 2017, and beyond to make more of our nations more secular and more anti-God, but I do know that God who lives in us is alive. And God inside of us, His fire burns brighter. And I do know that where sin will abound, grace will more abound until Jesus Christ comes back. You must believe that, know that, embrace that, and walk with that in your life. Amen? God's already told me very plainly for 2016, I'm going to begin a series here. It's going to be called Strengthen. And I believe what God wants to do is to help us start the new year out, strengthening things we already have in us. We might find ourselves getting stronger in Him next year in all dimensions in Jesus' name. Not going backwards, but going forward. Because you're going to start seeing some things around you that in the natural realm could be discouraging, perhaps, to the body of Christ. But I'm saying God's here to encourage you. He is here to give us new anointings, more presence, more power, more love, more words of knowledge, more giftings, more of His peace than you've ever seen before. Has God got in store for His people? But we must be those who hunger and thirst and embrace it in the days ahead. Amen? So I'm going to go ahead and move on. And I want to say many of us in America today are enjoying the benefits of paying the price that many Christians paid to make this a Christian nation years and years ago. Though many folks today don't call us a Christian nation. But we actually have been birthed and born a Christian nation over 200 years ago. And the blessings that came from also spreading the gospel of Christ around the world. America's been the number one country in the world to spread the gospel to the unreached in foreign countries. And because of that, God has blessed and God has prospered our nation like no other nation in the history of the earth. But God is saying, don't drown in your blessings. Drown in God and keep Him the focus of your life. Because I still do believe the best is still yet to come. And the nations that have been saved now with the gospel of Christ coming to them, even many of them, God will be sending to us to bring forth, I believe, great harvest and great release of his power, glory, and word in the days ahead. The scribes and the priests knew all the details of the Messiah, but they had no interest in finding him in their lives. It's a sad thing. The third group, now number three, is called the wise men. These guys had love for God. Let's read now again Matthew chapter 1. Let's go back to that. Matthew 1, starting in verse 9, what it says, 9 through 12. When they heard the king, the wise men departed. They heard King Herod. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was at. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come, notice this, into the house, not the manger, the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshipped him. When they'd opened up their treasures, they gave him gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The wise men left the responsibility of their own kingdoms to come and be about God's kingdom business in this story, in this rendition. And praise God they did this. When they arrived, the Bible says they lavished gifts upon Jesus Christ of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We all know that frankincense and myrrh are two symbols and two substances that were very, very expensive back in this era. They also are symbols of a death and a worship, because frankincense was used by the high priest to give forth a sweet-smelling savor and aroma during worship and praise to God. Myrrh was used preparing bodies for burial. Gold, of course, was used to have money to trade and buy goods and services. And so all these things talk about the very priestly anointing, kingly anointing, and Messiah anointing to die upon the cross in the frankincense, the gold, and the myrrh in prophetic type senses. But also, you got to understand there's a reason that God put these things before him, this little boy at 2 years old. What's a two-year-old boy need with frankincense and gold and myrrh? Well, the fact was, these guys had taken get out of their household very fast and moved to a place called Egypt to flee from Herod trying to kill them. They needed money for the journey, money to live there, and so God gave them some expensive gifts to finance and take care of all their natural needs coming and going to Egypt until Herod finally died and was gone from the earth. The wise men worshiped Jesus, but they also had a little bit of deception in them, because when they came to Herod, they believed what Herod said. Herod said, go find that young child that I may also worship him just like you do. They didn't really realize he was actually lying to them and was actually saying, I want to find him that I might kill him and wipe him out. They were being deceived there a little bit. The wise men were. And so, the Bible goes on and says here these things. After they worshiped Jesus Christ, they encountered what's called the way and the truth and the life. They receive instructions from God after worship. Do not go back the way you came, because that man is trying to take the boy's life. What is being said here is, when God's presence shows up, when praise and worship goes out, he becomes the way and the truth and the life. And things around us that are in darkness, or things that are in turmoil, or things that may be destructive, God starts wiping them out for you by his presence. Remember again what Kendra just said to us. Lady was prayed for, but it's saying, the goodness of God be upon you. And God just shows up, and God starts healing her eyesight. That's because where God's presence is at, there's going to be fullness of joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that means the word anointing there. And the anointing comes forth to break every yoke when God shows up. Amen? I want more of God's joy, God's presence among us when we come together here. Because when God shows up, there will be fullness of joy. Healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. God's presence shows up. And God always does good things. And he ministers death to death and life to life in Jesus' name. As we live on this earth, we face many questions, we make many choices, we hear many voices. When I have questions, I want to know the right way for those questions. Amen? Well, he is the way in that realm. When I hear many voices, I want to know what the truth is behind that voice. Amen? He is the way. He is the truth. When I'm making many choices in life, I want to have the choice that leads to life. And he is the way and the truth and the life. For choices, for questions, and for voices, he is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Those who worship God in spirit and in truth will always know the way, they'll know the truth, and they'll know what is life as they make choices in this life in Jesus' name. Amen? You're going to face a whole lot of questions, a whole lot of voices, and a whole lot of choices next year. I want the way and the truth and the life to be manifest in your life to make the right choices for the right voices and the right questions bring forth the right answers in Jesus' name. Amen? You catch that? So, when I have these questions, may God be present. There was a massive survey done in America a couple of years ago about the Christmas story. They actually polled all religions, all races, all socioeconomic groups across our country about the Christmas story. On the surface, the results seemed to be positive and encouraging. Most people in America, they found out, they say the Christmas story is historically accurate. 73% said Jesus was born to a virgin. 81% said he was laid in a manger. 75% said the wise men were guided by a star and brought the three gifts to him. 74% said the shepherds saw the star, went to where the star where the boy was laid and born at, and announced his birth to the world around them, as the Bible says. Now, if over 75% of our people in America believe these facts to be facts, why is our nation in the spiritual condition it's in today? That's it. That's the question. Because the scribes and the priests believed the right things, but they did not know who he was. Many Americans know the right things, but they do not know who God really is. And I pray to God we'll never find ourselves guilty that our children, our teenagers, our youth, our college-age folks, our young adults don't know who God is. May they see God in us. May we know God ourselves, and may it be poured into their lives to know the Lord, their God. So, let's talk now again about what became of these three groups. What became of them? I told you earlier, Herod made the decree to kill every male child 2 years old and younger. And he himself died 2 years later of gangrene, having his own flesh eaten away, and also of kidney failure. Not a good ending. The scribes and the high priests. The Bible tells us his history as well. We find through historians that whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross, a few years goes by, in comes another king whose name was Titus. He destroyed the temple, destroyed much of Jerusalem. All those guys got laid off, and they all lost their jobs. What about the wise men? The Bible says they worshiped him. They gave him gifts. They went home another way. What God is saying to you and I is the wise men are still speaking today about what the true love of Jesus Christ will do in us and through us. First of all, we're going to find ourselves being worshipers of God. For those who love God, they shall be those also found to be worshiping God. Amen. And I praise God as you take it. I pray to God as you take and spend more and more time next year getting your cars, your homes, your minds, your hearts filled with true praise, true worship to the Lord your God. And spend time feeding your spirit, feeding your soul the things of God's kingdom, not just the things of this earth. Amen. They also gave gifts. Now, praise God, you folks that are here have all got a gifting inside of your life. A precious man came here a few weeks back from Zimbabwe and talked about the giftings of God in every Christian's life. And I want to remind you guys that all of you here have got a gift in you that God placed in you from birth. It has no repentance. He won't take it back from you. He wants to use those giftings to bless the body of Christ and the world at large. Okay, so in 2016, let's make a covenant next year. I'm going to use my giftings, administration, leadership, prophecy, teaching, serving and giving, hospitality, realms of financial giving. I'm going to take all the giftings God's placed in me of healings, miracles, and whatever may be there, and I'm going to pour those things out in greater measure with God's help and God's guidance in 2016 and in 2015. Amen? God wants you to use your giftings in restaurants, in grocery stores, in parking lots, at family gatherings, in neighborhoods, and in church services like this. He wants the giftings to come forth. These guys give the gifts in public to Jesus Christ to bless him and help him out in practical ways and supernatural ways. And God says the same thing is true of you and I. Use those giftings to bless folks around you in their lives. The third thing was this, though. They went home another way. And what God is saying is, when God shows up, you will show up in his presence one way. You will leave a different way. Amen? You will always be better after encountering God than before encountering God. Amen? So when folks come to Tree of Life Church or churches like this on Sundays, Wednesdays, whatever it may be, I'm believing God, you're going to come in here one way. You're going to go home another way. Amen? You're going to go home encouraged, strengthened, better, healed, sound, informed, instructed, inspired, faith-filled, all the good things God has for us. You're going to come in one way. You're going to go home another way. Amen? Let's believe God for that. I'm going to have James come back to the platform and help me out here at the end of the service now, if James would, please. I want to say here in closing, for all of us who celebrate Christmas, this week's going to be about one of two things. It's going to either be about consumption or it's going to be about compassion. And I pray God to God we choose compassion over consumption this Christmas season. We have so many precious givers in this church, people that love God in this church. I appreciate each one of you guys. You're doing things behind the scenes, doing secret Santas, doing Angel Tree Ministries, blessing folks in nursing homes, in prisons, blessing folks out there in parks and in neighborhoods, neighborhood outreaches there. I encourage you guys, just bake some cookies for your neighbors and just pass those out, something like that to your neighbors, even this week coming up, if you can do that. Just take some token of love that's inside your own gifted hands and heart. Use that to bless someone around you who needs what you've got. The main thing you've got is the love of Jesus working in your life. Let's pray today as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us be those who can see the love of God increasing in our lives in 2016. Next Sunday of the 27th is our last service of the year on a Sunday morning. I pray you guys all can be here as well. We're going to be here ourselves. And I'm believing God to help us be postured to end this year in victory, but also be postured for the next year coming up. To be those that are strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, to release those giftings, release those callings, and see God's work in us increase around us in greater measure. The Bible is very clear. Time and time again, the Bible says when Israel was sent into battle, God always sent the worshipers first. Let's pray to God even now that worship will not be attacked successfully in your life. If you right now are going through a time or a season where it's been hard to praise God, hard to worship God, you don't feel like putting on even songs of praise and worship perhaps in your own house, your own car. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to us where love may be lacking. Let's also make a conscious decision today. I am going to worship the Lord my God. No matter what diminishes around me in the natural realm, my spirit man shall rejoice. And again I say it shall rejoice in the Lord my God. When praise arises, God arises in that praise. And the Bible says his enemies and your enemies are scattered. So Father God, this day, with our hands lifted high, with our voice, O God, full of your power, grace, and love, help us, Lord, be better worshipers, praisers, those, O God, who worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, take from us anything that's like dross or chaff or anything of religion, anything, Father God, of works or things of bondage. Let those things, O God, be broken off our minds and off our lives. We might be free to be a worshiper of the Lord our God. We praise you, God. We bless your name, O God. Just right now, begin to lift your hands to God if you do that. Just begin to say, thank you, Father God. I praise you, Lord, this day. I give you worship and thanks and praise for who you are, O God. You are glorious. You are magnificent. You are mighty, O God. You are precious, Lord. You are above every name that can be named. You are the God of all over all gods. You are the King over all kings. You are the Redeemer, the Savior, the Baptizer, the Healer. You are the Anointed One. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega, the beginning and the ending. You are everlasting to everlasting. You are the Christ, the Messiah. You are Emmanuel, God who's with us. You are the one who's called the Redeemed, the Redeemer, who brings forth redemption, who brings forth baptisms, who brings forth salvations, who brings forth healings and miracles, who brings forth power and might. You are worthy of praise, worthy of honor, worthy of glory. Worthy is our God. Worthy is our God. Praise, praise, praise me to our God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. I want to remind you guys again that these three wise men, they were wise because they knew who God was. And they knew the signs of the coming of the Messiah. And they knew who the Messiah was. And they knew what gifts to give him and bring to him. And I want to remind you guys in a short little teaching here as well. The Bible says in Corinthians, it says, bring forth the best gifts when you come together. What that means is, someone in this room right now today may have a pain in their knee and need God to heal a bone or heal a joint in their knee. The best gift there is a gift for healing. Amen? Somebody here may be going through a time of thinking about suicide, ending their lives. The best gift there is a word of knowledge mixed with a gift of faith that God will see you through and God will give you a word in season that you don't want to kill yourself anymore. You want to live and not die and declare the works of God. So God says, seek the best gifts. Doesn't mean that healing's better than words of knowledge. It means what is best in that situation. For Jesus, the best gift was gold and frankincense and myrrh. He had a whole lot of bills to pay. He had a body to give on the cross. He had a priesthood to bring forth upon the earth for 33 years. He needed gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the wise men brought the right gifts. But they went home themselves a different way. When you give your gifts to mankind around you in obedience to God, you will always be ministered to yourself. And you'll go home another way. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Praise you, Father. Bless your name, O God. Let's just wait a moment here. Just wait a moment here. We thank you, Father God. We praise you, Lord. What are you saying to your people, O God, this day? Thank you, O God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I just hear the word balance. God is saying, as you end this new year, this old year, and go into a new year, let's pray to God for balance in our families. In our busy, busy, busy lifestyle and busy schedule, some folks may have that. We find the balance to keep God first, to have a quiet time, to be able to read the Bible, to have time for some prayer, to have time for some worship, to have time for our families, to have time to make some phone calls, to build up and invest in relationships, to have time for future ventures and future inventions and things that God wants to birth through us. We have time to invest in those things also in the new year. So, Father, right now, we just pray for balance. Let, oh God, those things that are not in balance be, oh God, touched by your Spirit. Let us have a divine encounter with the Holy Spirit who brings to us wisdom on how to rearrange things in our schedules, in our thinking, in our actions to bring forth, oh God, the things you want to bring forth in 2016 in the name of Jesus. I praise you, God, for time for our families. Time for those things you birthed in us, oh God, for the future, for inventions and creativity, writings and songs. Works, oh God, of art. Works, oh God, of engineering. Works, oh God, of computer analogies. Things, oh God, you birthed inside of our heart to help bless the body of Christ and folks around us. Give us, oh God, time to make phone calls, to reach people, oh God, who've been away from us for years, to see, oh God, fractured relationships being mended and healed. And also, God, to have time to evangelize, time to reach the lost, time to scheme ways to see people that are lost come to Jesus. And time also, even perhaps even go overseas. Or time to pray for missionaries. Or time to give and sow into other ministries beyond our own local churches. In obedience, O God, to your will. And I praise you, God, for balance in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, go ahead. I sense right now there's more things that God's sharing, but not through me. So you go ahead and share yours first here.
Before Pastor mentioned the word balance, I had this picture in my brain of a scale. And a weigh scale that you weigh things on. And as he was sharing, the Lord developed it. And what I believe God's saying is we have this scale, which is life. And then we have the one side that is the I don't even know what it's called, but the barometer. Like when you purchase something, you say, I want a pound of butter. In the old days on those scales, they'd put a weight that was a pound, and then they would add enough balance that would equalize that weight, and it would be exact where it needed to be. A counterbalance. There you go. And so what the Lord showed me was that on the one side of our scale is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's balanced even on that side. And then we come along with our lives, and we come and we place things on that scale. And we need to remember to keep that balance correct in our lives. And this thing on the side, when it comes to our lives, it changes. Sometimes we're going through school, university, or whatever, and that piece of the weight is bigger than the other things that are happening in our lives, and it adjusts. There's maybe something happens in our lives where we are ill, or things that are happening, and it adjusts the scale. Those weights on this side become bigger. It's like ordering mixed vegetables, and you want this many peas, this many beans, and it all needs to balance here. And things vary on this side, but on this side of the scale, it never varies. A pound is a pound, regardless of what you're putting on that scale. And I just feel like God was saying, remember that side of the scale, the balancing side, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not all just, you know, the giftings, like not just the prophetic, not just the evangel, not just this gift, but a balance. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then on this side, keep that balance. It varies, yes, it adjusts, because we don't stay the same, but God does. So just make sure that as you adjust your things in life and you go through different seasons, you have different focuses in life. You have things that you're praying for. I know that I'm somebody that can become obsessed with something on this side of the scale, and this side goes, woo, way down or way up, and I have to bring back every ingredient to bring that to balance. So I just saw that in my spirit as Pastor was saying, I feel the Lord saying balance, and I was like, well, that's the scale I'm seeing. So just remember that the gauge of our life is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on this side of our scale, our life, and keep this side balanced. It may vary, but it doesn't change. A pound is a pound, okay? And God is God. And so keep that balance in your life.
Good, good, good. That's God confirming that. So take that to heart. That's God speaking to us about that word, about that balance. He's going to give you wisdom what that balance means for you individually. Amen? Because the balance he gives for you may not be the same thing for myself. But God wants you to have a balance that's going to bless your life. Amen? He wants right measurements. Amen. Anything else? If somebody saw something or want to share something quickly? We're going to dismiss this in a moment. There's one more thing from Maria. Yes.
When you were saying that you have to balance, sometimes we put so much. And what God showed me is take things out. What's not important, don't worry about it. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things for other people that we lose focus in the real meaning. And even like this week, you know, I have a daycare, and I try to do everything for my children, and I want them to know it's all about Jesus. And like today, I bought a cake, and I had happy birthday to Jesus. And today I just saw like a ribbon just come into the church. And I just saw like another cake. But the cake was white. And then the inside of the cake was red. And what God was showing me is put the focus on Jesus, you know, and not worry about getting for this one or getting for that one, but just show the love that God has in you and show that. So we need to take things out and not worry about giving and giving and giving, but keep him in.
Good. Thank you. Well, praise God. You can give that microphone if you would to Jack. We'll let Jack dismiss us in a moment here for prayer, in prayer. And again, you guys be blessed this week. Take the words that have been spoken here, if you would. Put them into practice. God loves us. God's the reason for this season. His love is all about what he wants to do in us and through us this week. And I believe God's going to give us a balance that's going to help us create more opportunities for his love to get manifest through us this Christmas season. God bless you. If you can, come back Christmas Eve, do that. No service Wednesday night, but there is here. We're here Thursday at 6 o'clock. It'll be a good time together. God bless you. Have a good rest of this day. Let Jack go ahead and dismiss us.
Hallelujah. Father, we just love you. We worship you. We thank you that you receive us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, you have truly given us the greatest gift of all, and that is Christ Jesus our Savior. Our sins are forgiven. We've been granted access into your kingdom. And we thank you so much for that. Father, I pray as we go forth during this Christmas season, that the word of God, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be upon our lips, in our hearts, in our countenance, Father, as we walk the face of the earth. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. In the name of Jesus, let us infect people around us with the joy that is within our hearts. In the name of Jesus. And they all said, Amen.